So, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question avoided.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
Hey everybody out there, before we get to this week's episode, I wanted to start off with a little amendment. First of all, I hope everybody out there is doing well. Hope everybody out there is safe and all their community members and everybody are out of jail if they were there. Hope everybody's in the streets or headed there right now. I know things are tense, but justice feels like it's palpable. Feels like it's a new day is coming toward us, and there's a really good chance for some big changes in the near future, and hopefully everybody out there listening in understands how important these protests are and that Black Lives Matter, and we all need justice for George Floyd and his family and Breonna Taylor and the endless number of other people who are murdered by the police. Here in New York City, things have been pretty tense. Things have been pretty exciting. There's been some incredible protests. We've been a little busy here at Dispatches, being in the streets with everybody. We are going to have an episode about everything that's been happening here and some of the issues that have been coming up and some of the issues people have been sort of discussing in social media and in the mainstream media along these issues and about the protests and about the rebellion and about people rising up and people taking the power back. And we're gonna touch on those things more. We aren't quite ready to do that yet. I think there's still more to listen to. There's still more to talk about. There's still more to think about. And there's a lot of important and valuable Black voices out there that we should be listening to on these subjects and this issue and this incredible rebellion. We don't want to take away from that. And while we have an episode here and there is important stuff to talk about, we just want to make sure that we're not crowding the space of and being in front of talking about these particular issues. So I'm going to air this episode. I do think that there is valuable content on this episode. I recorded this about a week and a half ago. So it was before George Floyd was murdered by the police. And so we did not talk about those issues on the episode. It's sort of obviously absent and things have changed dramatically, but I still think there is a lot of valuable insight in this podcast this week. I'm posting it. I think it's worth engaging, maybe listening to it on the way to the protest or listening to it as a little break from crunching your mind on these very important issues that we need to be thinking about. I don't want to take away from those topics, but I do think it's important to be deepening our perspective and our ability to critically think about things that are happening around us and capitalism. And hopefully in the very near future, we'll have more information and we'll have more digging into issues around the Black Lives Matter movement. A lot of the issues that have been brought up and put in people's faces, rightfully so, in this wonderful way by all these incredible rebels in the street protesting, demanding justice. And we'll get to that in the very near future. So we're going to get to this episode in a minute. I'm going to air the whole thing that I had recorded and not changing anything about what is in the episode, although obviously the world is different than it was a week and a half ago. So I just want you to note when this was recorded, and it's obviously missing information talking about protesting the police, which we have covered on this dispatches endlessly. There's tons of episodes we have over the last 10 years about protesting police violence. So, you know, I invite people to go and listen to those as well. They're in our archive section on our Dispatch from the Underground page. Be safe out there. Fight hard. And here is the episode in its entirety. Get down. All right. Welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. It is episode 4 from the COVID quarantine here in New York City. And I know a lot of us have been craving getting back to shows. It's really, I don't know what the word need means anymore. I feel like it's become something new. Since this quarantine has begun, I feel like our needs and our wants have melded into one. But, you know, maybe there is a need
maybe there's a need for us to have some flexibility on that definition. But anyway, so this is probably not part of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but I do think there is a need for us to get back to shows. And so I wanted to, oh man, I'm fucking using that word back and forth. I feel like those words don't even have any meaning anymore. I'm just using them and it means absolutely nothing. Anyway, I don't know how to get around it. I wanted to step back from responding to everything in the mainstream, all the atrocities we see one after another, just being sprawled out all over the mainstream media. And I wanted to get back down with our essence. Being in the underground, you know, it's so hard for us in this community because it's not like a physical community or in a classical sense of the idea of a community. Our community is so based on our interaction at shows and at events. And so it feels like when we're being bombarded by this mainstream media and we're forced away from our communities, even in the loosest definition of a community, it feels really hard to keep our underground perspective. And in some ways, I think it's our underground perspective that actually helps define our community for what it is. It's our perspective as an underground community, as a group of punks, that really unites us. Our not only our willingness, but our desire to accept people because of their differences, not in spite of the differences, but because of their differences, our desire and our hunger to hear politically charged, socially conscious music, our passion and our energy to live life, to not be afraid of living. And sometimes that could spill into some things that may not be our healthiest choices for our physical beings or our community, but still it's our passion for living. It's our hunger to be alive and live in the moment. You know, the fact that we are unashamed of who we are, we are proud of who we are, the fact that maybe there's an aesthetic that goes along with it, maybe there's an aesthetic to the sound, maybe there's an aesthetic to the clothing, maybe there's an aesthetic to how we express ourselves and the crass nature of that expression. But to me, what is at the core of our underground community, of our punk community, is a basic perspective. And while some like elements of that, some like particularities that might change over time, and that's another basic element of our core perspective, is that we want conflict, we want to challenge those ideas, we want them to interact and to sharpen them and understand them and get better. All those things are part of our basic core value, and we hone that, we develop that, we see that happening at shows. We interact and grow that mentality and that perspective at shows. It's not all perfect. There are elements to our perspective, and I see this all the time. I think the worst of it is coming out during this quarantine when people have really taken to the internet and just flogged each other with the idea of what is punk. I feel like it's gotten even more out of control now than it has been before, flogging everybody for not adhering to their idea of what is punk. It's we could go on and on about that all day and that weakness in our community. But I think one of the reasons that's happening is because there is a yearning for us to understand who we are, and there is an inability that we have, and I think that's forced upon us by more mainstream elements of the punk idea and concept that capitalists have capitalized on for a very long time. And they've tried to encourage us to see the superficiality of our community while denying the basic essence of our community, which is this perspective, which is this underground perspective that pulses through our veins. And they try to think, you know, tell us it's about consuming the punk or consuming a t-shirt or consuming a certain look and get us to deny what is at the essence of it. And it's hard. It's hard to really get down to the essence of it because we're just constantly being berated by the idea that community is a superficial thing, and we're constantly being berated by the idea that communities don't have an essence but an aesthetic. You know, that's something that capitalists have forced upon us for a very, very long time, and you can see it in lots of different ways all around us. But to me, what is deep down at the center of being punk, of being underground, is this perspective of appreciating differences but at the same time challenging them. Almost a contradiction in terms of itself, right? Like, we want to appreciate everybody for how different they are, but at the same time, we want to challenge everything around us. And it's this contradiction, this tension, that really makes punk this vibrant, beautiful, lovely place. And because of how unconscious it is, sometimes that can be challenging to deal with. But I think we have gotten more understanding and appreciative of that deep down core as time has gone on. But at the same time, it's really hard to hold on to it because we're so unconscious of it, because we're so unaware of our deep down core as punks and as an underground community. But I think the important part is that this is strained from this quarantine. We have been unable to be interacting with our community members. You know, I love to see bands. Obviously, that's a huge part of what I do. I love to make music. I love to see bands. But a huge part of why I love being at shows is because I get to interact with people from my community, not only in the city I live in, but all over the place, all around the world. And, you know, it's great to see bands online. I'm really happy that punks, and especially the folk punk community, have done a great job of cultivating not only those shows and those musicians' plans, but have done a pretty good job of also cultivating some interaction around those shows. But, you know, it's just not the same. You just don't get that same vibrancy, that same, like, energy flowing through you when you're watching someone interact or when you're watching a band perform. Plus, obviously, I also miss the shit talking that we do at punk shows as well. I think that that's a crucial element of who we are as punks as well. But let's class it up. Let's call it interaction. Let's not call it shit talking. And we can pretend that we're a little classier than we really are. And we can pretend that we miss our community, not just writhing in the gutter, although I miss that a bunch too. So we're going to talk to a bunch of musicians from the underground punk community. We're going to start with Paul from Chicago-based, Dominican-born, La Ramada. They're an incredible hardcore band that comes from the Dominican Republic. They're all based in Chicago. They do have a new lead singer. He is not Dominican. He's from Puerto Rico, I believe. But he's incredible. The band is amazing. I absolutely love them. They have some new tunes out, and they have a new video for their song that we're going to be listening to on this episode. We're going to talk to, and after Paul from La Ramada, we're going to talk to Danielle and Jesse from New York City-based anti-folk band Out of System Transfer. They were actually on tour and had to cancel their tour mid-tour because of this COVID quarantine pandemic. And they ended up staying with some homies on the road for a bunch of weeks. They're back here in New York City, and I asked them for some of their experiences because it just seemed really intense. And I think all musicians are just distraught from the fact that tours have been canceled. I mean, obviously, we're all distraught from the horrible loss and the pain and suffering that everyone is feeling. But on, you know, in addition to that, all of our livelihoods have been wrecked by this quarantine, this understandable quarantine because of the pandemic that we're facing. And Jesse and Danielle were actually on tour when the reality of this quarantine seized them and their tour. So I wanted to get their perspective on things. And then we're going to talk to Glenn from a band called Inrod and another band called Tread. Glenn is an incredible drummer. I've had the pleasure of touring with Glenn. He's filled in on drums in my band Cop Out a few times, and Glenn actually had COVID, so I wanted to talk to him about his experiences as a punk who's had this and see where his mind has been during this whole epidemic. And so I know Glenn always has a lot to talk about, and I'm super excited to hear his thoughts. I actually haven't heard any of these yet. I'm going to listen to them as you listen to them. And after they share what's on their minds, we're going to do a little shit talking after them, because this is not an interview and they do not have the ability to shit talk back to me, which I feel like is a mistake on their part. But at the same time, there's really nothing they can do about it because they sent me these videos very nice, very kindly. I really appreciate Paul and Glenn and Danielle and Jesse for doing this. So, all right, maybe I'll like ease up on the shit talking. I'll like make sure I don't do it too much, because I do really appreciate that they took their time out of their super busy schedules to send me these videos of them talking. But I'm still probably going to do a little bit of shit talking. We'll see how that goes. I'm not exactly sure. We'll see if they prompt me to do any shit talking, but we're going to do a little processing of what they talk about either way after their video. We're going to talk a little bit about what they had to say. I'm confident that they're going to help us get our heads right. They're all super, super smart, dedicated punks. I have a ton of respect for each one of these crews: La Ramada, Out of System Transfer, and Glenn and his bands Inrod and Treads. I have a ton of respect for them. They're deep down punks. They're deep down committed to the underground communities where they are. And I'm really proud that they were willing to send me their thoughts. So while I might talk a little bit of shit, the main thing is that I'm confident that they're going to help us get back in tune with our underground perspectives, because these are people who are forging underground communities everywhere they are all the time. And I'm super proud that they were willing to share their perspectives and thoughts about this illness that everyone, this pandemic that everyone has been interacting with, and this quarantine that everyone has been dealing with. And I'm confident they're going to help us maintain our underground perspective, given that we are so cut off from our community in so many different ways. So because we're cut off from the community, we're going to go out. We're going to bring the community to you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Glenn, for your contributions, not only here on this podcast, but to cultivating and fostering and developing underground punk communities all across this country. So thank you all very much. Before we get to the contributions from Paul from Laramato, we're going to listen to a tune. We're going to listen to a tune from a band that's relatively new from Southern California. This is a band called Power Alone. It features a supremely talented Eva. Eva was the lead singer for a band called Gather. She was the lead singer for a band called Rats in the Wall. For people who have listened to this podcast for a long time, you know that Rats in the Wall is not only one of my favorite bands, but Eva wrote and sang one of my favorite songs of all time. And I just think she's absolutely fantastic, on top of the fact that she is an amazing woman in person. And I am in constant awe, not only of her music, but her dedication to her principles and everything that she does. You know, it's hard to find, even in punk, to find a supremely talented person who sticks to their principles nonstop. It's easy for me to say that I'm principled, although, you know, my talent, that's certainly in question. But Eva is terribly impressive. On top of all that, she also fucking absolutely terrifies me. She is an intense person on a whole nother level, and I just love, I miss being around her. I miss touring with Rats in the Wall. I miss Rats in the Wall. And while I'm very sad to see Rats in the Wall stop playing, I love the music they have recorded, and I'm super proud of all the members of Rats in the Wall going on to do other things, including Eva's new band called Power Alone. This music is fantastic. Eva is ferocious as ever. She's so supreme. Talented. I'm just in awe of her ability and her lyrics all the time. And so I'm very proud to be playing this brand new band featuring Eva. It's called Power Alone. This song is called Where We Stand. So we're gonna listen to this, then we're gonna talk to Paul from La Armada. Here is Power Alone. Get down. Alright, first up, we're going to be listening to Paul, who is the guitar player for an incredible band in Chicago called La Armada. La Armada was playing here in New York, I don't even know, 10 years ago. Probably wasn't that long ago, maybe seven years ago. They were playing here in Brooklyn. They were playing at our DIY spot called The Lake. It was later called The Swamp. I don't remember if it was called The Lake or The Swamp when they were playing it, but
my band All Torn Up was playing with La Armada, and they absolutely, I think they physically ripped the walls off the place during the show. It was an unbelievable show. I immediately became good friends with these guys. We talked a lot, not only that day at the show, but that night after the show. We hung out a bunch. We became good friends, and I'm just in awe, not only of their music, because they're such incredible, groundbreaking, dedicated musicians. I actually don't know anybody who's more dedicated a musician than Paul from La Armada. An unbelievable guitar player. Everybody in this band is just spectacular at their instrument, and they all just sort of redefine what dedication is to their instrument. I love them all so very much. And we were at the show. The first time we hung out, we were at the show, and Paul was in the back room of the venue, you know, prepping to go on stage. We actually didn't have a stage, so it was prepping to go out and play the music because there was no stage at the time. And Paul was practicing, and I just sat down, and we chilled, and we talked for a while, and I realized that this guy was something special even before I had heard them play their music that night, because his perspective was just so unique. He was so dedicated to his principles and politics and the whole underground mentality that we're coming at the world from. So I have a ton of respect for this band and this guy. I can't imagine talking to a better person in this world when we're trying to get a hold of our underground mentality and get back in touch with who we are as underground punks. I can't imagine talking to someone better. So here is Paul from the incredible band La Armada. I just want to say before we get to these contributions that I did send these folks some prompts, and I told them they could respond to them or they could choose not to. It was up to them. But if you hear them like reading a question and then responding to it, that's them responding to those prompts that I sent them. But again, it was really just some basic ideas that they could sort of use as a ledge to jump off from. So here is Paul from La Armada in Chicago. Get down.
What's up, Joey and Dispatches from the Underground? This is Paul Rivera, a guitar player in La Armada. I'm in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm holding up pretty well. Last week was kind of rough mentally. It was week 7 of being locked in. This week I'm doing better. It just goes up and down. I think the first thing that brings anxiety my way is just wondering how my family and my parents and sister, who's pregnant, is going to fare off. They're all in the Dominican Republic, which, to the country's credit, has enacted some pretty strict rules. But you just never know if people are going to take it seriously. So that's my biggest point of anxiety. The next one would be the band. Just not being able to plan, not being able to play, not really being able to do much except write. Am I more concerned about the virus or the economy? Fuck the economy. I'm concerned about the virus and the people. The economy was good for some and horrible for the majority. If we were smart, we would take the opportunity to redirect that, and we would create something that's more inclusive of other people. It pisses me off when I hear people talking about opening shit up just for the sake of the economy. Like, I get it, people are hurting. Minorities are hurting. Minority communities, at-risk communities are hurting because they don't have jobs. But guess what? There should have been some kind of social safeguard in place to help these people out. What do I miss the most about pre-quarantine? I miss playing shows. Definitely playing shows. We were just about to start playing for the year, and we had to cancel all the regional shows we had, and we just canceled a big European tour. So, major bummer, but whatever. As far as the spaces that I miss the most, we were going to play the Cobra Lounge in Chicago. It's kind of a home for us. So I definitely miss playing there specifically. How has the experience changed how you see your relationships prior to quarantine? It's actually enhanced how I see my relationships. The people that I've considered friends, now we're more in touch, and like will call instead of texting. And people that maybe I wasn't that close with, but know that maybe they struggle a bit with mental health or whatever, it definitely makes me check up on them more and just see how they're doing. Are there ideological, political, or philosophical issues you're spending extra time on right now? All of the above. From a philosophical level, really, really internalizing the fact that the things that you can't control in life, you either got to accept them as they are, or you got to use them as a vehicle. Use the very thing that is stopping you. That very thing that you can't control, somehow use it as an opportunity to either get your goal done or use it as a learning experience and just learn and reassess and redirect. Basically, it goes down to that control bit. That which you can't control, man, don't stress over it. Political and ideological, yes. Capitalism as we were living it, in the function of mass consumption and corporatism, as we suspected, is not inclusive of all the people and will lead to the destruction of the planet and the destruction of humanity. And it makes us detached from our loved ones and from our communities. What are you spending time thinking about? I just hope that people decide to learn from the many lessons that this brings. Whether it's some of the lessons that I'm talking about right now or different, but I just hope that the vast majority of people don't wake up from this and just continue try to continue to live their life as usual. What are you talking to people about in terms of capitalism? I do want to address this further because here's the deal. Society that we've been living in, corporatist, neoliberal dogmas applied to every sector of our lives. Healthcare, goods, commerce, etc., etc. It can't be. You can definitely point to positive things that came from capitalism, sort of say, like advances in medicine and technology, longer lifespans, etc., etc. But I really have a bone to pick with loyal free market evangelists that think that an open, deregulated market and eternal growth is A, the path forward for humanity, and B, actually sustainable. So I just want to harp on that last point, actually sustainable. How can you expect every industry that exists to obtain eternal growth year over year over year in a planet with finite resources and a shit ton of people? To me, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. It always did. And now the writing is literally on the wall. It really is. When you treat hospitals in, like you treat any kind of industrial process with a made-to-order or ready-to-use only tactics, and you don't have extra hospital beds and extra equipment and things like that, well, then you get the situation that we're seeing today, for example, in New York, where you're at. When you treat any industry that is supposed to be providing a social good, when you treat it under the neoliberal dogma, you're just going to keep putting profits over people. And that's why we find ourselves in this situation. So if anything at all, I just hope that more and more people realize that with what's going on. And that we all decide to personally and collectively take steps in which we can live our lives more mindful of other people, of ourselves, and of the environment.
All right, I really want to say thank you to Paul for this contribution. I think those last words that he had in his commentary were just echoing through my mind endlessly, that personally and collectively we need to be more mindful of ourselves, of other people, of our environment. He said it better. I think that it's worthwhile listening to that second half of what he said just endlessly, because it is so thoughtful and so spot on for what we need to be talking about in this moment. Thank you very much, Paul. I just want to be clear about the prompts that I sent that Paul was responding to. I sent a ton of prompts to folks who were shooting some of these videos, and they could pick the ones they wanted to talk about. So I didn't force them to talk about the issues that I thought were important. They could pick and choose. So the things that they're choosing to talk about are the things within the prompts, for the most part, that they had reflections on, the things that they wanted to talk about. So just to be clear about that. To me, Paul's contribution broke down into two basic things, which was, I think, embracing change and then capitalism. I feel like those are the two main themes there, although I think there was a lot of stuff in that commentary. Firstly, I think embracing change and embracing the challenges and the struggles, he mentions control, and focusing on what's important, like family, right? So, you know, I think punks, for the most part, some of us struggle with our families. Maybe some of us don't have the best relationships. Personally, I abandoned my family a long time ago, and we have a pretty strained relationship. While I care about them, you know, I don't think about them probably as often as I should. And they're not on the forefront of my mind all the time. And for Paul, hearing Paul talk about his family first and foremost and his concerns for them, It reminds me that other punks have different relationships with their families. And, you know, this is a challenging moment, especially for Paul, who, in following his dreams, like, left his family and moved to another country. I think it's, you know, it's challenging to think about folks who don't get to see their families in these times and wish they could, but because of, you know, economics or issues or, you know, different issues that could be in front of them, they just can't get to see them and the challenges. I don't think about that enough, for sure, because, you know, because of my family backgrounds. And I appreciated hearing that. I also appreciated the fact that when Paul was talking about the anxieties that he has, he left himself out of all those anxieties, right? They were about other things outside of himself. And I think that's another part of that makes our community such a strong place. We aren't as focused on our own self-interest and our own concerns all the time. We're thinking about others. And I thought that was a particularly interesting point that Paul didn't bring up himself, but in his reflections showed me. I super appreciate his comments on changing his relationships, which he talked about maybe in the early first third of what he said. He talked about, in some ways, this is pushing him to strengthen his relationships with other people, talking on the phone as opposed to texting. And, you know, he looks at these issues, these problems that are in front of him, and he sees what he can do to change them. He doesn't let the problem beat him down. And this is an important point, because this is why I think our community is so special in a lot of ways. There is this empowerment that is inherent in punk. This we talked a little bit about in the intro, this vibrancy, this excitement, this energy that pulses through the punk community. But there's also a sense of empowering in relationship to the musicians on stage and the audience that's off the stage, in the sense that the musicians on stage aren't holding all the power. And if you ever have a chance to see La Armada live, which I strongly encourage you to do, you can see that interaction with the crowd and that love they have for the crowd, and that they pour everything they have into their performance and into their music. And you could see their love in their eyes and their interaction and their respect for the crowd. You just see it's tangible. And I think that is true for a lot of punk musicians. I think it's true for a lot of punk shows. And that sense of empowerment, that we are not defeated, that we have control over a big part of our lives, that we are able to exercise that control in some way, that we are beings and we have power, and we're taking more power back from the things that we have been told do control us. You can see how Paul does this, and when he talked about his changing relationship with his friends in this situation, right? So you could look at this terrible pandemic and this quarantine situation and let that defeat you and say you're powerless, and you could say you're powerless and you can't do anything about it, so just curl up into a ball and lose touch with everybody. Or you could look at that and say, all right,
different constrictions on my behavior, different constrictions on my interaction with other people's. Let me take this moment to appreciate these relationships that I have and maybe even strengthen them. Maybe even use this moment as an opportunity to strengthen those relationships in ways that maybe I hadn't before thought about doing, or because of comfort and ease, I just never did. And I think when he talks about strengthening his relationships and checking up on people and calling more folks, I see his empowerment, his thoughtfulness, his caring of other people all sort of colliding into one. And maybe it seemed like an innocuous comment to you, but to me, when he says that thing, it was powerful, and it reflected that empowerment that we have in our community to not let things defeat us. And I think a lot of what Paul said, talked about not letting things defeat us and the need to challenge those things around us. But then, you know what? I do want to take issue with an element of what he said, because then he explicitly talked about the fact that there are things that are outside of our control, and objectively, obviously, there are things outside of our control. Paul also mentioned like controlling what we can and doing what we can, but also being appreciative of the fact there are those things that are outside of our control, and then trying to use those things. I think that's the terms he talked about. Use those things to try and change what we can. I do want to take issue with some of this, right? Because on one front, there objectively are things that are outside of control. There is a pandemic, right? We can't control that. But he also spends a lot of time after that talking about using the time that pandemic has forced us to have inside this quarantine and being productive and reflective. So while there are things that are outside of our control, and I see what he's talking about in terms of using those apparatuses of control, the fact that the pandemic exists, forcing us into quarantine and using that to the best of our advantage in order to do something productive, I think that is what Paul is talking about. But for me, it's so part of me. Obviously, there are things outside of our control. I'm not going to go out there and try to headbutt COVID virus germs or something like that, right? Obviously, it's important for us to embrace the fact that there are things outside of our control. Otherwise, we're going to be unproductive, and we're not going to be appreciative of what we can control. But I just think that all too often, too many people, not Paul, but other people, see limitations and see things that they think are outside of their control, and they acquiesce to them too easily. I don't think that that's true for Paul. Because I think when he talks about capitalism, which we're going to get to in a second, you could see him very clearly straining to push to the limits of our control. And I think that that's the important part that I think Paul was missing, although I'm sure he thinks I'm just a pile of shit for bringing this up and not letting him respond to it. I apologize endlessly, Paul. Maybe Paul's right. Maybe the way he referred to it and what he was talking about is more appreciative of objective reality. That might be true. This is my podcast, so I get the last word. And I think an important part of that is that we should always be straining to push to the very limits of our understanding what is actually beyond our control. Is it really beyond our control, or is it just that we think it's beyond our control? And I would rather we push ourselves right over the edge of a cliff and trying to see what is beyond the limits of our control than we stand 200 feet away from it and never fully try to change those things. Mixed metaphors aside, I think that that's an important point worth discussing or worth mentioning. Now that being said, I don't think Paul does this. So, I think he does appreciate the limits of the things that are outside of his control and such and so on. But Paul is an incredibly empowered human being who's always doing everything he can to strain to see the limits of the things that are outside of control and massively turn them around. He's just a magician at that. So maybe he didn't mention it, but I do think he lives that way. And I think he would appreciate my counterpoint, although he's not here for me to fully check if he does. Now, that being said, I want to go to the second part of Paul's commentary, which was about capitalism. And I hope people listen very carefully to what Paul was talking about. I think it was just tons of stuff in there that was worth mentioning and worth talking about. We're not going to be able to talk about all those things. But I do think this pandemic is exposing so much about the world we're living in and that we are so willfully ignorant of, and especially about the hospitals. Paul touched on this really briefly, but I feel like that with hospitals, the myth of supply and demand, this myth that capitalism is worthwhile and meeting our needs, and that I think hospitals are a good example. If you look at like how hospitals are run, and how hospitals have been ill-prepared for this moment, it's because capitalism makes them operate as a business in order for them to be profitable, right? So they have to keep their beds pretty much fully, you know, people in their beds all the time. They have to operate at maximum capacity in order for them to be fully profitable. Because if they have empty beds, they're not making profit off of people sleeping or using those beds, not sleeping, but using those beds and being treated. So a hospital is encouraged to sacrifice helping people in order to be profitable. And it's just not a way to run a hospital. And there are so many institutions that in order for them to be profitable, have to sacrifice the essence of what the institutions are actually supposed to be. Right, housing is another example, like clearly another example, right? We capitalists are out in front on the TV right now talking about meeting our needs and sacrificing the economy for our needs. It's such fucking bullshit. Capitalists, the people who run this country, they don't care about our fucking needs. They didn't care about meeting our needs before this. There were homeless people all around them that they willfully let be homeless, despite the fact there is an abundance of rooms for them to be sleeping in that night. There's empty hotel rooms all around. But because of profitability is their interest, being economically profitable, that's their actual interest. Because of that, they're willfully letting those needs be ignored. Capitalism doesn't meet our needs. Our society is built on profit, not meeting people's needs. And when Paul talks about being mindful, both personally and collectively, I think a big part of that is hoping that we can push things to be more about meeting people's needs and less about meeting people's interests and profit. In this moment, I think a lot of that is being exposed. And in some ways, a lot of that is being put under the carpet in a lot of ways, because capitalists are out there talking about people meeting people's needs. It makes them look good. It makes these government officials look like they actually want to meet needs. Oh, we have to stop the economy because we're in an emergency. Poor people are operating in a fucking emergency all the fucking time, right? This is, and I'm not trying to diminish the fact that there is actually there is a pandemic going on. That's another level of the emergency. But poor people are fucking struggling to survive constantly. They live in a constant state of emergency. Capitalists don't appreciate that because it's not something that's going to affect them. It's not something that can destroy their economy. And they're constantly calling these workers essential now, which is nice for them to do. But they're calling them essential in order for them to look more palatable. What they really mean, what capitalists really mean when they're talking about essential workers, is that those workers are expendable. So in some ways, you know, in their perspective, in some ways, things are being pushed under the rug a little bit, and it's harder to see how capitalism is working because capitalists are doing a better job of hiding their actual intentions and behind words like essential workers and behind words like emergency and shut down, lock down, all these other things. But I do think this is an opportunity, like Paul talked about, for us to try to keep that pulled back a little bit, to try and pull that rug back a little bit and see the true nature of this economy and hopefully through this see that we can actually change what we thought we couldn't control. We can actually change the economy. We can change the way people relate to each other, and we can change the fundamental realities that we thought previously were out of our control. But now we're realizing not only are they within our ability to control, we have to control them. We have to get out and change those things because they're crushing us and because they're leaving us in this state of not only disempowerment, but actively dying. Anyway, I think that Paul's commentary about the hospitals, I think Paul's commentary about capitalism, I think Paul's commentary about the loyal free market evangelists that he mentioned earlier in the episode, I think, first of all, that is a great name for a song. I hope that La Armada writes a song called Loyal Free Market Evangelists in the very near future. I think Paul has got the pulse of capitalism very well. I hope people go back and listen to his commentary because he hits things right on the head in so much of it. And we have got to stop having an economy that puts profit over people. Simple as that. So be more mindful. Be more mindful personally and collectively about ourselves, about each other, and about the environment. Proud Paul, thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you very much for your reflective heartfelt thoughts. I really appreciated them. Let's listen to a tune from La Armada. Here is a new song that they just released relatively recently. They just put out an incredible video of this, which you can find online. This is a song called Gun Nation by La Armada. Get down. Listen to another contribution. This one is from Jesse and Danielle from Out of System Transfer, a band based right here in New York City. They were on tour. Their tour got cut short, and so I wanted to hear some of their reflections, not only about their tour, but they're also super reflective, deep down committed to an underground community here in New York City, incredible parts of our community here, and incredible musicians. So here is Danielle and Jesse from Out of System Transfer. Get down.
Hi, I'm Danielle.
And I'm Jesse.
And we play in Out of System Transfer, New York City's gonzo, anti-folk, punk rock, radical leftist hootenanny. We were actually on tour when the virus became really bad, and we had to cancel about 4.5 weeks of shows that were scheduled, you know, that were booked for touring, plus a whole bunch more back at home.
At least 30 shows.
Yeah, we had to cancel at like 30 shows. We actually were displaced for a little bit because we had a subletter in our apartment. So we ended up staying with Jesse's aunt and uncle in Chapel Hill, North Carolina for 5 weeks. And they were really wonderful and generous and welcoming and took us in. And, you know, we're very, very thankful to them and their community. We actually did some like food distribution work with the local Food Not Bombs chapter in Chapel Hill when we were down there, which was, you know, we felt really thankful to get a chance to like plug in. So when we were talking about, you know, what to say here, one of the questions was, how has this changed your viewpoint, your relationship with capitalism? And I guess we both kind of feel like we were reinforce, like our beliefs were reinforced that capitalism is a failing system.
Problem is, almost everybody feels like their beliefs were reinforced, whether they should feel that way or not, no matter how obvious it is that they're not.
Well,
but yeah, no, I feel like if anything, it's been my feeling that capitalism would come to a bad end sometime in the next century or so, and now if anything, it's just happening sooner than I thought. If anything, I was just even more right than I thought.
Yeah, so I think it's reinforced a lot of my beliefs about human nature, I guess I would say. But, you know, I'm also seeing a lot of really wonderful things happening, people reaching out and supporting each other. And I think that's really, really cool that the bad things are being reinforced, this belief that, you know, we're a part of a system that is meant to fail, is meant to crush people, is meant to create divides and hierarchies, but also that despite all of that, people are fighting back, people are organizing, and that's really cool to see.
Ah, Jesse and Danielle, we were right this whole time. It's so nice to hear everyone be talking about it. Jesse, come on, man. You can appreciate the fact that we're right, and everyone else can think they're right. That's fine. But we are right. We were right. Capitalism does not work. I really appreciated this commentary. I really appreciated hearing this from Jesse and Danielle from Out of System Transfer. Thank you both very much for your contribution. Thank you for keeping it short and sweet and clear and directed at capitalism. I love it. I know Jesse's right in wanting to talk about the fact that everybody thinks they're right. I appreciate that. It's important and it's a valuable perspective to have to make sure that we are humble and we don't get out of control with thinking too much of ourselves. I understand that. But all of this is sort of beset by the fact that we should be talking about how doesn't capitalism work? Like, why doesn't capitalism work, right? Why were we right this whole fucking time about the fact that capitalism doesn't work? It doesn't work because it doesn't meet people's needs. Right here is an emergency situation where clearly people's needs aren't being met by capitalism. Right, people are ill, they're getting sicker, they're going to get more sicker, and the economy is actually in the way of us meeting people's needs to get healthy, to stay fed, and to keep people productive. But capitalism is totally unable to meet that need in this moment. So we have had to sort of, well, not we, the capitalists have had to admit it and throw their system to the side in order to meet people's needs. The problem is, as I mentioned earlier in commentary to Paul's contribution, most people are in a constant state of emergency that capitalists and the wealthy and the government are unwilling to recognize. Most people are in a constant state from check to check, from job to job, from week to week, from month to month, of not being sure what's coming down the road. And they're in a constant state of terror of what's going to happen to their homes and their livelihoods and their just the basic essentials, their needs. And again, we talked a little bit about in the beginning how that term of needs and wants is getting murky. I encourage everyone who doesn't know what Maslow's hierarchy of needs is to go and look it up, because it's the best explanation of what needs are. And there are so many things on that basic hierarchy of needs that we are not having met all the fucking time in our lives. Capitalism only strains to meet the most basic elements of those things. And again, it strains to meet them. And we see in this emergency situation, they can't even fucking do that. And the fact that Jesse and Danielle were in Chapel Hill and they were working at Food Not Bombs, the fact that there has to be a Food Not Bombs existing in a system that says that it's the height of humanity, the fact that it can't even feed people, have the most basic need met, and that other poor people with almost nothing have to organize themselves to have something called Food Not Bombs and collectively cook for others is an abomination that it has to happen. The fact that it does happen is amazing, and the people who run Food Not Bombs in almost any city are just the most wonderful human beings. They're an important part of every underground community. They're almost always punks, although I won't say that for sure. I won't say that they are all punks, but for a lot of ways they are. And I just think that reflection and what they were doing really highlight the ways in which capitalism does not work. Capitalism does not meet people's needs. It cannot meet people's needs. It will not meet people's needs. And we are fighting back, as Danielle and Jesse pointed out very clearly. And it's exciting to see how people are organizing and fighting back against that. Despite the way we were all trained to think as capitalists and out for ourselves and not out for other people, people are coming together and helping each other out. And I think that's the message that Danielle and Jesse were sharing. I think that's really the main thing that they were expressing in their short piece. And I really appreciated it. I really appreciate that there is some comrades out there who are saying capitalism does not work and we can show you a better way to treat each other and to interact with each other and to fight back. So proud. Thank you very much for this contribution. I do want to say that I'm very sorry to Jesse and Danielle for having to cancel their tour. They're incredible musicians. Their band Out of System Transfer has been involved in organizing some of the Coping with Dystopia live music events. They're active in the community, in the folk punk community that has been doing that. So please make sure you go and check out Out of System Transfer. They have a new record that came out, I think, last year that you can go buy on their Bandcamp page for a few dollars. Please go and check that out. We're going to play a tune from them right now, actually. We're going to play a song from their most recent record. I really dug this song, although I think there's a couple of songs on there that are just spectacular. This is called SOA SOB. It's off their newest record called From a City by the Sea. So I hope you dig it. Here's Out of System Transfer. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Danielle. I really appreciate your commentary. Much love. Here is Out of System Transfer. Get down.
But I can tell them by the way they drag their feet. Something was rising, and I think they feel it vibrate to the earth. Something was rising, and it felt like death itself was giving birth. Yeah. Probably a safe distance. Feel the prickling of the skin beneath my hair. Something was rising, and I think they hear it calling from the sea. Something was rising, but I'm certain it'll never call to me. Yeah. There was something they were chanting, I could hardly make it out. The board up wasn't seeing the masses of sending out. That there was something unspeakable, and it's all the waves.
No time now to hide in the sand,
or stagger backwards or wrath. I really don't know what to say.
All right, we're getting to our last contribution right now. This is a contribution from another New York City musician. His name is Glenn. He's a fantastic drummer, an absolute phenomenon behind the drum set. He's in two great bands called Inrod and Treads. Sadly, Treads and Inrod do not tour nearly as much as they should, but they're phenomenal bands. We're going to listen to a song from Treads after we hear Glenn's contribution. Glenn recently had COVID-19, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his experience in this quarantine. So let's get to it. Here is Glenn from Treads and Inrod. Get down.
All right, this is a recording for Dispatches from the Underground. In response to Joey Steele's Facebook request, I'm Glenn Genska. I play drums for Treads. I play bass for Inrod. And occasionally play drums even for Cop Out when necessary. And whoever wants to hire me. Because, you know, the music world is just doing so fucking hot right now. I'm going to attempt to do this while my cats attack each other around me. Let's start with the basics. Who are you? Glenn Genska. Where am I? I live in Alphabet City, otherwise for most people known as East Village in New York. How am I holding up? I would say that there are a lot of ups and downs. I was sick for about 10 days, which was a big down, and a week of fever dream really... It was just a wild time, and as someone who is very extroverted and kind of obsessed with being around people, with around strangers, around friends, etc., the isolation hits pretty hard, and it's difficult to kind of maintain a positive attitude. However, I happen to be pretty young, pretty healthy, and very lucky. So in the sense of like, how am I holding up from a realistic global view? Just fucking fine. A little bit sick, a little bit sad, but really things are just fine. And I'm thankful for that. Early on, so as I said, I live in Lower Manhattan. I live in Alphabet City. I was in East Village hardware store, one that I go to fairly regularly, community store. And early on, I think it was probably maybe the first week of quarantine before people were really isolated, but you know, people understood social distancing. I was waiting online to pay for whatever random thing I was buying, and there was a woman maybe 4 feet away from me. I don't know. Wasn't close enough to bother me, but another person in the store called her out and said, you know, you're not 6 feet away from that person. And then the person nearest me responded with, mind your own business, this isn't your problem, etc. And I kind of just stood by and watched it because, one, I found it to be something that was interesting to observe. But it was in it, and I give kudos in one way to the person that called out the person that was waiting online a bit too close to me. But also it was just sad to immediately, early on, see people kind of attacking each other instead of just giving the quick nod and being like, you know what, that's right. Like, I will step back 2 feet. It's not exactly crazy, but that was indicative of how things are going to change. And that people, I'm glad to see that the community is trying to police itself as much as a four-letter word that might be. Maybe this is the kind of the good sense of using the word. Let's look at what else. Anxieties that I'm facing. I do not work in service industry, but a huge, probably the majority of my friends do, or they're at least fully locked into gig economy. And by far my biggest concerns are that my friends that are without jobs don't have them when this does let up, or that this doesn't let up for so long that everyone's safety nets completely dissolve. And I think a lot of people are thinking about that, and probably many people that are smarter than I am are thinking about it much deeper. But that's the real concern I have, is really for everyone else that, you know, people in that are my peers that are currently just completely down and out. And I think everyone's just kind of crossing their fingers and biding some time. Oh, God, shows and spaces that I miss the most. All of them. That's a shitty response, but it is just like, I can't believe that live entertainment has come to a halt. I'm glad people are doing interesting things in their apartments, or they're doing things using various other kind of distributed technological solutions. But my God, it does not replace the feeling of air rushing past your eardrums. I miss sitting through shitty bands just to find some totally unknown one that blows my mind. I miss the conversations had on a bar stool or outside. I miss, you know, randomly finding street food with people that had played an hour ago, and maybe I missed their set, but they turn out to be fantastic people, and I start following their music and buying their music and just falling in love with a new band. I miss everything about live shows. And the spaces that provide the opportunity for those shows to go on, they each one's interesting. I don't know. I miss going to shows. I miss riding my bike over to St. Vitus and just fucking meeting weirdos there. Last thing I want to say, I find it very interesting. I like the question, how has this experience changed how you see your relationships? I think that a lot of people I thought were pretty close friends, turns out maybe they don't reach out enough, or they just don't. Clearly, like some people without the social aspect of hanging out are just not that concerned with you. And that's a little bit of an eye-opener, and it's probably a good thing to realize that, you know, to just determine which relationships are really only, you determine how thin some friendships are, which aren't necessarily bad friendships. It's just a little bit of an eye-opener. But also, on the other side, I've found that people that aren't from New York, maybe people I haven't spoken to in years, have been calling just to see, one, they have someone on the ground. I guess they want to know what's going on in New York, but also following up, being like, hey, how are you doing? Have you been sick? If you are, and then following up even later and being like, hey, man, I remember you were sick, and now I'm curious, like, how are you doing now? And that's been very interesting to see on the opposite side, that there are friendships that may have gone silent because those people have gone on and maybe they have families or they're building their lives and however they're doing that. But that the pandemic status of this problem has made it such that people are starting to think about the friends they know that are in the most affected zones and some of those friends are actually reaching out to their New Yorkers, or maybe their people on the West Coast, maybe people have been living abroad, particularly working and living in China. So that's been that's a little bit of light in this rather dark time. Anyway, Joey, hope this is these responses are worth something. Please cut out all this shitty white noise that's just sitting in the middle of all the as I stutter my way through it. See ya.
Oh, Glenn, you should know better than that by now. Don't leave anything in your commentary that you don't want in the episode. I'm not cutting shit, son. This isn't some, like, overproduced fucking morning talk show. This is Dispatchers from the Underground. We're not cutting out shit. So I left Glenn's words the way they came to me. Thank you, Glenn, for your contribution. Those thoughts and those reflections were very thoughtful. I really appreciated it. Let's dig into some of the stuff Glenn was talking about. First and foremost, this strikes me in all of the contributions we got today, and I think it strikes me in thinking about this with a lot of our underground community. Punks don't think about themselves first. I fucking love that our community all across this country is made up of people who, for whatever reason, have broken from the mainstream mentality of selfishness that is tossed upon us constantly. And I think a lot of punks, maybe not all of us, maybe not all of us all the time, but we don't think about ourselves first. You can hear it what Paul talked about. You can hear it what Jesse and Danielle talked about. And you can hear it what Glenn was talking about. Not only was this guy sick with COVID-19, but he actually lives in one of the most affected neighborhoods in the fucking world with this shit. So, and he's not talking about the concerns he has for himself. He's talking about the concerns he has for, you know, his friends who work in the service industry that has just been ravaged by this and probably will never go back to being like it was before, especially here in New York City, where such a huge portion of musicians and other people we know as musicians and hang out with, they are people who work in the gig economy and people who work in bars and stuff like that. And it's not going to come back to the way it was. And I think Glenn is rightful to think about that. But what strikes me from all that is that he's not thinking from a selfish perspective. And I think so many of us, when we interact with people at shows, we take it for granted that we're interacting with people who aren't selfish. And when we interact with people in the mainstream, maybe they like to portray themselves as not being selfish. But I rarely think that that's actually how they behave. Unlike at shows where I think so many, at least underground shows, so much of what we engage is people who are selfless. And I fucking love it. And it made me think of that. And I really appreciated that. I also really thought Glenn's little comment about, you know, talking with people he missed, people who he started hanging out with after he missed their sets and going to get food with them. I just think that's a great little reflection. I hope he writes a song in Inrod or Treads about it, because I really enjoyed that. You know, I just think that the people you meet, whether it be bands or whether it be other people you meet at shows, they become your best friends over time. And we're going to talk a little bit about friendship in a minute, because Glenn brought it up and relationships. But, you know, those moments that you spend with people and you get to know them and you get to see who they are, who they really are after the sets, even though you missed them, playing. I thought what a lovely little story, what a lovely little thought, and what a lovely little, like, picture into what it is to go to a punk show and the things we miss. We don't just miss a show. We miss missing the show and then hanging out with the bands afterwards and getting food and meeting weirdos. Loved that commentary because, you know, it made me think about something we talked about in the beginning of this episode, which is we actually love people at punks in the underground community because of their differences, not in spite of them. And the fact that Glenn brought that up, you know, love, he misses meeting weirdos. First of all, just if that didn't come through, Glenn is a fucking weirdo. Him and I have not always gotten along because I can be difficult. I don't know if people out there have gotten that from this episode, but sometimes I can be somewhat difficult. It's true. And Glenn is a good person, and he's in tune with the fact that dealing with difficult people can be a hardship sometimes. So I have rubbed Glenn the wrong way, metaphorically speaking, in the past. So I appreciate the fact that he enjoys meeting weirdos. All right, let's talk about this relationship point that Glenn brought up, because I think a lot of people's relationships are strained right now. And you know, I've heard this from a couple other friends of mine that, you know, this has torn back sort of the curtain of who really is and really isn't a friend. look, this thing has been tough for people in weird, weird ways. And Glenn sounds like he's dealing with it really healthily, if that's a word, or, you know, in a healthy way. Other people aren't. I certainly have gone through moments where I probably should have hollered at some people I care about, but I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know what to say. I can't go see them. I don't know what I can do. I feel a little bit like debilitated through all this. And it's been challenging to just think about, thinking about like what is friendship beyond just the casualness of seeing someone can be tough and maybe even gut-wrenching. And I think it's interesting that Glenn brought it up. I hope that he is able to talk to those folks that he feels like maybe let him down in some ways. I feel like it's important to try to be, you know, clear about how those relationships aren't what you thought they were, and maybe to like consciously redefine them. I don't know. Maybe that's just too uncomfortable to do. But I definitely appreciate the fact that Glenn was saying that relationships are hard right now. Even the best relationships have been challenging. And, you know, I've heard a couple of people talking about these on different podcasts. And this is just a challenging moment. I think this is a good opportunity for folks, if they see a relationship in their life where they feel like it is not what they expected it to be, maybe take this opportunity to holler at that person, to try to be conscious of that person and be like, look, I thought we were better friends than this. I haven't really talked to you since this is going on. You know, I just wanted to check in, like, are you okay? Do you need something? Or am I perceiving this relationship in the wrong way? Which is fine. You know, it is what it is. I just sort of like want to redefine it, want to understand our relationship better. I don't see a problem in that. Try to do without hostility. I guess my voice hostility comes across no matter what I do. But I think it's worthwhile to try to talk to folks about that. And, you know, this is something I struggle with in the punk community all the time. We talk about community, but the fact is we are a community in a lot of ways, and we aren't a community in some other ways. You know, our community is very casual. We see each other at shows, but a lot of times we're not busy living with each other. We see each other and then we pass by each other, like, you know, I don't know, ships at night or whatever the fucking metaphor is. And in a lot of ways that's sad, but we're in, especially in New York City, the crushing realities of having to make rent and live lives and, you know, move toward desired ambitions, they can get in the way of building our relationships. And that's real sadness. And I wish there was like one spot that punks could like settle down and like build a community in a physical sense and really be who we know we should be in reality, and just aren't able to manifest, and for whatever reason, maybe we're not as good as we think we are. But I think there are real limitations that we have on us because of our lack of financial stability and our inability to live next to the people we really care about. There's a ton of reasons, but I guess that's all making excuses in some ways for the fact that we need to be better people, and we need to put our ambitions aside and realize that relationships are really the things that define us. And sometimes, especially in New York City, I think that gets in our way. For me, for sure, and I think for punks in general. So I really appreciated that perspective Glenn was sharing with us. Thank you very much for this contribution. We're going to listen to a song from Glenn playing drums right now. This is from his band from here in New York City. The band is called Treads. It's a fantastic band. Glenn is a phenomenal drummer. I have been lucky to play with him a few times on tours when he has filled in my band Cop Out. Fantastic drummer. Really, really spectacular. This is his band Treads. The song is called Throwaway. Thanks, Glenn. Get down.
Here I am, moving again in the truck with all my stuff. Brings back old memories and I can never get enough. Throwing all in the basement, or just donate it. I don't know where my heart is, lost in all this. Here we are, the lights too far, the past too last this day.
kids. Newt's unlike his. I drown him out with thoughts when they're easy to lust in. I'll dig up memories and treasure dreams. Throw them away. I know I had a chance to make it work. Throw them away. Send up to try again, but I can't pretend. Throw them away. Come back to haunt me when you're moving from place to place. Moving from place to place. And it makes me think of you. It comes back like a heart attack. And it makes me think of you. It comes back like a heart attack. And it makes me think of you. It comes back like a heart attack. And it makes me think of you. I dig up memories and treasure dreams. Throw them away. I know I had a chance to make it work. Throw them away. Stand up to try again, but I can't pretend. Throw them away. Come back to haunt me when you're moving from place to place. Moving from place to place.
All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to Paul from La Ramada, Danielle and Jesse from Out of System Transfer, and Glenn from Treads and Inrod for their contributions, for their thoughtfulness, for their reflectiveness, for talking about punk and giving me these thoughts in a timely manner. I really appreciate it. I hope that they weren't upset too much at some of my commentary about their reflections. I love all these people very dearly. I respect them incredibly. I think they're not only great musicians, but I do think they are great ambassadors for what is punk, ambassadors for what is underground. They work very hard and are committed to the punk and underground community, and I have a ton of respect for them on many, many levels. So I hope they are not upset at me. If any of you are listening in and you are upset about my commentary after your contributions, please feel free to resubmit something, and I will not talk any shit after I air it. I will air it, and then I will not talk any shit. I will just take it on the chin because I am a pile of shit. So, speaking of being a pile of shit, I talked at the beginning about the essence of punk being our perspective. And I do agree with that. I do think that the essence of being underground punk, the essence of being in our community, is a perspective that is unshakable. It's something that's at our core. And I think that we touched on that a little bit throughout the episode. A lack of selfishness, thinking about other people before ourselves, an embrace of others and other people's differences. And also there is an essence to our perspective and our desire to challenge itself, challenge who we are, challenge other people around us. This the love of conflict that sort of just gives us energy. This love of conflict, I think, is an important part of perspective. And maybe we could go into that more in other episodes. I think it's something interesting. There are some weaknesses to our perspective, something that needs adjusting. But I think that we have a lot right in how we see things and how we're looking at things fundamentally. I think fundamentally we have a basic perspective deep down in our core that is worthwhile and wonderful, and it makes us special, and it makes our community special, and it's the reason I fucking love punks. I go all around the world and I get to meet people, and I really feel like there is something special about us everywhere I go. And I guess probably a lot of people involved in different communities feel that about their community, but I think I'm right. I think we are right. So I hope hearing from these folks helps rekindle in your heart and in your core that underground punk perspective that maybe has lost a little bit of its brilliance in this quarantine, that maybe has lost a little bit of its light in the fact that we have been separated from each other for such a long time. I hope that hearing from these other pillars of the punk community, we can reignite that fire and refeel. Does that... That doesn't sound like a phrase. I think I just made that up. I think it was probably some sort of refuel amalgamation that I just fucking put in my head. I'm sorry. That was stupid. I hope that we can refuel or refeel or whatever that essence that makes us punks. And one of those things that I find most challenging during this, and one of those things that I feel like is one of the best parts of being a punk and being part of the underground punk community, is the intensity of being a punk. Is this unforgiving, full throttle, all the time feeling that you have at a punk show. This like fucking fire. This like real, tangible, almost and sometimes literal fire at shows. And I just feel like the energy is palpable. Even at shows that aren't huge shows, like even at just underground shows, there's a palpability to the energy. And it has been a real struggle for me to deal with that. I am bouncing off the walls at home because I don't have an outlet for me to go to express the energy. And I don't think my energy and my fire has been extinguished because shows haven't been happening, but I do feel like because I haven't had a way to express it or haven't had other people to feed into that fire, maybe it's a little bit listless, or maybe it's a little bit like carried in the wind, or maybe just like a little bit less controlled than usual. Maybe that's adding to my lack of focus in these times. My mind is just reeling a million miles an hour because I don't have that community to go to and see that tangible sense of this is where I belong and this is the community that I am part of and building and doing something for and making songs for and that love so deeply. Maybe because I don't get to see that, I've just not been putting that fire into the right places and just maybe just been spinning my wheels a little bit. I don't know. It's been challenging, but it's been wonderful to hear from these three pillars of the community. It's helped me refuel and refeel some of that fire, that reason why we are punks and why we do what we do. And I really appreciate hearing that perspective. I would also love to hear from other folks if folks have been feeling the same or have had some thoughts in the same vein or different veins or whatever, and they want to share their thoughts and contributions. They can hit me up at dftunderground@gmail.com. That's dftunderground@gmail.com, or holler at me at any of the social medias that I'm on. You can holler at me at Dispatch from the Underground on Facebook, or holler at me on Instagram at Joey Steele, like the metal, NYC. It's Joey Steele NYC on Instagram. I would love to hear from other people. I'm dying from the fact that I can't get to shows and see new bands. I fucking love seeing bands that I've never heard of. It's one of the best parts of touring, is that I get to see all these fucking bands that I've never heard of, never had a chance to hear of, and it's killing me not being able to hear of new bands. I fucking love it. So if you listen to this podcast and you dig what we do and you know what we like, which is conscious, heavy, great music, please send me your band suggestions, bands that you really identify with, bands that really you really appreciate, bands that get you going. Send me those, or send me your thoughts, your contributions. I would love to air some of those in the near future. If you want to send me your thoughts, you can hit me, send me a video of your reflections on what's happening, where you've been, you know, some of the questions that I've been hitting other people up with that we've been responding to on this podcast. Just send them to dftunderground@gmail.com, and hopefully we will air them in the very near future. Thanks to everybody who's been tuning in every week. I know this quarantine has been stressful. I know people are freaking out about the pandemic. Hopefully these quarantine episodes have been helping you maintain some sense of who we are during all of this. Hopefully it's been helping you reflect on who we need to be in order to change the society at large. That's where I've been, and that's where I hope we're going. I urge everybody to go back and listen to our first COVID-19 episode, maybe about a month or 2 months ago. It helped me in order to walk through some of the complexities of different feelings that I was feeling getting through this quarantine. And I think there's a lot of good contributions there. I think this episode had a lot of them too. I think it's helping us get down to who we are as punks and where we want to go and take this world. So thank you all for listening in. We're going to have a new episode up in the very near future. Please go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. There's a subscribe button that will take you to iTunes, and make sure you do not miss a single episode. But please just keep refreshing us on whatever device you listen to podcasts on. Please make sure you subscribe to Dispatches from the Underground. Leave a rating rating there if you can. It takes no money from you. It takes really no effort. Just let people know that you listen to it. Leave a little rating. Say why you dig it. And I really appreciate it. It helps us a lot. Speaking of helping us a lot, I know everybody's strapped for cash. I know everybody's in a particularly difficult moment right now, given the pandemic and given the quarantine and given the uncertainty of the capitalist society that we're moving into. But if people do have some disposable income that they can share with us, I would really appreciate any contribution people could make. Go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. We have a donation section. Even leaving us $5, $10, $20, it helps us a ton. We have some costs associated with these episodes just to get them out in the first place and to maintain our archive. So if you can leave a contribution, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. If you can't, or if you don't want to just give away money for these episodes, I fully understand. That's why we make them free. They will always be free. We do have a merch page as well, and you can leave some money in the merch page and then also get some things in return for that, get some merch in return for that, some band stuff. I think there's a couple of Dispatches from the Underground t-shirts in there and so on. So please go to the merch page if you're more into that. I want to say thank you to Casey, Gabe, Lauren, and G-Fresh, who continue to help support this podcast in a myriad of ways, both in content and in other ways. So thank you very much for your continued support in maintaining this. And if you want to help this podcast, whether it be financially or whether it be in other ways, there's tons of ways to help. You can do the ways that I just mentioned before, but you can also just share the podcast, let people know you listen to it, and so on. The most important thing to me is that people are reflecting on the content, and people are also feeding us content in return, letting us know their thoughts and reflections in relationship to these podcasts we put up. So please, just holler at us. Let us know what you're thinking. That's the reason we do this podcast. That's the reason we do what we do, is because we care deeply about your thought process, your thinking, your reflections, and get into a future where more people are empowered and conscious to get to a world we actually deserve instead of this capitalist bullshit that's forced down our throats. Stay strong out there. Keep your heads up. Stay conscious, empower the people around you. Until we talk to you next time, I hope you continue to get down.